The voice you're about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across east of England today. This is Celia's story. In one of England's poorest constituencies on official measures, chemistry graduates who dream of teaching watch school labs sit empty while children are taught science by teachers who have never studied the subject. The people exist, the classrooms exist, the need exists. What is missing is the political decision to connect them.
My name is Celia, and I've always been the kind of person who could make copper sulfate crystals at the kitchen table when I was 8. My mum was a teaching assistant at the local primary school, and she'd come home with stories about children lighting up when they understood something new. I wanted to be the person who did that with chemistry, who showed teenagers that the periodic table wasn't just letters and numbers, but the blueprint for everything around them. I finished my chemistry degree at University of Essex in 2017 and spent 2 years working as a lab technician, saving money and watching teachers work. The good ones made chemistry come alive. The struggling ones just read from textbooks because they'd been thrown into teaching a subject they'd never studied. I knew which kind I wanted to be. In 2019, I applied to the Department for Education's teacher training programme. I'd researched everything. Chemistry teachers were desperately needed. The starting bursary was £26,000. I could do my PGCE, qualify as a teacher and start making a difference. I submitted my application and waited. The letter came back in April. Unfortunately, recruitment targets for chemistry teacher training in the east of England have been met nationally. The bursary allocation for this region has been reduced from £26,000 to £15,000. I read that sentence 3 times. Met nationally, this region. What did national targets have to do with whether East of England schools needed chemistry teachers? But £15,000 was still something. I could make it work. And I applied to Essex teacher training. The admissions tutor called me personally. Celia, we'd love to have you. Your application is excellent and we need chemistry specialists, but without the full bursary funding, we can't offer you a place. The programme costs more to run than the reduced allocation covers. What if I pay the difference myself? I asked. It's not about your fees. It's about our allocation from the Department for Education. We have capacity for 20 chemistry trainees. They've funded us for 8. I tried Anglia Ruskin University's PGCE programme next. Same conversation, almost word for word. We have the capacity, but not the funding allocation for this region. The woman I spoke to sounded as frustrated as I felt. I've had 15 applications from excellent chemistry graduates this year. I can take 3 of them. That's when someone first said the words that followed me everywhere. There is no funding. It sounded reasonable. Budgets are tight. Training costs money. Everyone accepts this. I accepted it. I took supply teaching work through Time Plan Education while I figured out what to do next. 3 days a week at different secondary schools across Southend and Rochford, covering chemistry classes for teachers who were off sick or had left mid-term. Most of the lessons were taught by geography teachers or PE teachers who'd been handed a textbook the night before. I watched 15-year-olds struggle through photosynthesis equations because their teacher had never balanced a chemical equation in their life. One afternoon in 2021, I visited my old sixth form college to collect some reference materials. I walked through the science block and something caught my eye. 3 chemistry labs, fully equipped, sitting completely empty. It was 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. I found Mr. Harrison, the head of science, in his office. "Those labs," I said, "why are they empty?" "Oh, we used to have student teachers in there 3 afternoons a week. University partnerships, they'd practice lessons while we supervised. Great for them, great for our students, but the partnerships were cut last year." "Cut? Budget cuts. The universities can't afford to run the partnerships anymore. We've still got the space. We'd still love to help train new teachers, but nobody's connecting us to the training programs." I walked home past the old East of England Teacher Training Centre in Chelmsford. The building was still there, the car park still painted with lines, but the windows were dark and the doors were locked. A sign said the lease had been terminated due to funding constraints. My neighbour James has a chemistry PhD from Cambridge. He'd moved back to live with his parents and was stacking shelves at Tesco because he'd hit exactly the same wall I had. He wanted to teach, the schools needed teachers, but there was no funding. I started to wonder what exactly there was no money for. The buildings existed, James existed, I existed, the labs existed, the students who needed chemistry teachers existed, the government that issues pounds had chosen not to issue enough of them to connect us. That's when I understood something I hadn't seen before. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here. I'm still watching. I work supply teaching and I've started tutoring GCSE chemistry from home. But I know this isn't just my story. Every constituency has people like James and me qualified and ready, watching the work that needs doing while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never empty. Someone just decided not to open it.
What Celia experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. Cherry picking works like a tobacco company highlighting the one 90-year-old who smoked daily while ignoring millions who died young from smoking. They pick the exception to discredit the rule. In education policy, cherry pickers cite teacher training programs that struggled or schools that wasted resources, then use these isolated cases to justify cutting all teacher training funding. They ignore the thousands of successful programs that produced qualified teachers who transformed classrooms. When Celia was told recruitment targets had been met nationally, officials were cherry-picking national statistics to ignore regional shortages. They selected the areas where bursaries had worked to justify cutting them in areas where they were desperately needed. The Department for Education used rare examples of oversupply in some regions to deny training places to chemistry graduates in East of England, where schools were crying out for science teachers. Look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. Countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece used the euro, not its own currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Celia's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southend East and Rochford ranks 130 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 3 on official measures. English Indices of Deprivation, 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 4,332 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £43.1 million, £360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.